Good morning. You've tuned into North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. It is Friday, October 3rd. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here this morning with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. And how are you this kind of beautiful day?
It is a beautiful day, and I'm doing well.
Looking a little autumn-y out there, It's starting to see some trees turn.
Colorful, yes. Mm-hmm. There's some. We're getting some nice colors, as is appropriate.
Just starting. It's going to build up here for another 10 days, maybe. We'll peak in about 10 days, I bet.
I think that's your estimation?
That's my calculation. We can check on that next week.
Okay. We'll see. Yes, we'll see how we're doing in 7 days'
foliage,
time.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We're also here with staff writer for the Bonner County Daily Bee, Jack Freeman, here for a second week in a row. Another bite at the apple for Jack Freeman here. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. Happy to be back.
And thank you for being here. We are talking about what's going on locally. Of course, the big news right now is all on a national level, and I'll start the headlines on that level. The federal government shutdown is currently in place. There's no bill funding the government past October 1st has been put in place as of yet. The local effects are largely on the Forest Service. The Sandpoint Ranger Station is closed, and Forest Service employees are on unpaid leave until the shutdown ends. Let's see. I have an article here from the Idaho Capital Sun on what else is going to be affected. What won't be affected is is Medicaid, Social Security, and other. Those checks will still go out. But federal workers will go without paychecks. Here, a little something from the Bee under your byline, Jack, is that the federal government shutdown has blocked the Monarch Market out in Clark Fork from receiving certification that would allow the grocery store to accept SNAP benefits because the market did accept SNAP benefits but was bought by a new owner in July. Because of the new ownership, the store had to apply for a new license to continue accepting SNAP. The store originally applied in July and has been unable to get a certification and had to apply a second time. And that, if I read your piece correctly as I skimmed it this morning, that was expected to come through, but for now it can't, right?
Correct. Yeah, they've had continuing paperwork issues.
Yeah.
And now there's nobody there to even help them with the paperwork or process the paperwork. That person is furloughed for now. I believe 97% or 95% of everyone who works on EBT and SNAP benefits processing is furloughed currently.
One other thing that actually is not affected, prescribed burns are starting to take place around the state, actually began in late September. And according to the USDA, currently the national forests and grasslands will remain open to visitors, and wildland firefighting and disaster response will continue. U.S. Department of Agriculture spokesperson said in an email to the Idaho Capital Sun, this may change due to the length of the shutdown. The U.S. Forest Service is an agency within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. In related news, if you're wondering why currently flags in Idaho are at half staff, that is in honor of Isabella Oscarson, an Idaho Department of Lands firefighter who was killed by a fallen tree near Kuskia. And flags will be lowered until sunrise on October 5th, according to a press release from the governor's office. In county news, speaking of the change of seasons, the county is getting ready for winter, actually. The Director of Public Works, Teddy Lupton, requested approval of a winter maintenance contract by Lippert Excavation and Pipeline for the Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center for the 2025 and 26 winter season, and that was passed to zero by the Bonner County Board of Commissioners. And I would say our top headline today is in a little unexpected news. The city council met on Wednesday for only about 10 minutes and then ended the meeting abruptly by breaking quorum. At first, four of the city councilors walked out, followed by the other two, and the meeting was hastily adjourned by Mayor Grimm, who no longer had a quorum to attend to any of the business of the city. There is a meeting scheduled for 12 noon today, and you can watch that. I believe they stream that through the city website and on YouTube if you want to follow along live. Otherwise, there will be coverage of that, I'm sure, in the Bonner County Daily Bee. I'm guessing under your byline again, Jack. Can you tell us, give us this story? I for one was not expecting this to happen. I didn't see this. I didn't foresee this. Did anyone
saw this one coming? Yeah.
Did the city council foresee it coming? Did they know? I mean, did anyone have any idea this was going to happen, or was this kind of a snap decision as it occurred?
As far as I'm aware, it's a pretty snap decision. I think the nature of why they were frustrated was really what caused the walkout. Justin Dick told me yesterday in a statement that he found out about the change in legal counsel mere minutes before the meeting started. And that was very frustrating to them because under city code, the council has to appoint or confirm a mayorally appointed city attorney. And on that agenda was a they were going to discuss a change in the city ordinance for the open container law. We talked a little bit about that last week, how what that has to do with Chafe. But that decision was set to be made that night. And so they were not only worried about, you know, not finding out about this change, but also the fact that they were going to be discussing a change to an ordinance without, you know, what they felt was proper legal counsel. So I don't think that this was, you know, premeditated or anything like that. I think that they definitely were frustrated in that moment, just finding out, and that was how they chose to express it, at least to my knowledge.
Okay. So the council's appointed attorneys are usually from Lake City Law. The mayor hired as a temporary legal counsel William Harrington. Do you know, I mean, how did this come about? Why are we in this position of that where the mayor is hiring a temporary counsel? Do you know?
That's something that I'm still looking into for the most part. However, Mayor Grimm has told me and said at the meeting that the city's contract with Lake City Law expired on September 30th at midnight. And so they were no longer under contract with the city. So he said, I still need to hold a meeting. Let me go hire someone who served as interim legal counsel. He said during the meeting that William Harrington has done this for the city in 2019 as well, when they were kind of in a change of legal counsel. Mm-hmm. I still need to go back and look at that. I haven't had quite the time to dig into that. It was, you know, long before my time in North Idaho.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that they've done something similar like this before in the past, and that Will Harrington has been a part of the city for a while.
Okay. So right now there is no, I guess, council of record for the city council, if you note my change in pronunciation there. This person was appointed by the mayor just as a temporary measure, but the council is saying that he does not actually have the authority to do that. Is that correct? Or
I think the council is saying, because under city code, the council has to confirm an appointment.
Okay.
And there was no vote to confirm him before the meeting began.
I see. Okay. So then I guess that probably brings us to the meeting that's scheduled at noon today. Okay. And is that the only item on the agenda, or will they be doing the full council business from Wednesday?
The only item on the agenda is the consent calendar from last Wednesday's meeting that they could pass relatively quickly. That's not to say that there won't be a discussion of legal counsel. Mm-hmm. I think there could be if they wanted to go off of the agenda to try to resolve this. We'll see. You know, I don't know if anybody knows, but right now the only thing on the agenda, to my knowledge, is the consent calendar from last Wednesday. And that's if there is a quorum and the counselors do decide to show up and participate in that meeting. If not, then that business would have to be handled at another time. But I don't think we'll see a vote on CHAFE or anything like that today.
Not today. Okay. So today it will just be to handle that, the consent calendar, which is and possibly the legal counsel, possibly, if there as you say, if there is a quorum. I think you mentioned there was only one other thing that actually got accomplished during the meeting, which was we said this before we turned on the microphones, but you're telling me that they did get one thing done, right?
Yes. there was a police officer promoted to lieutenant. Mm-hmm. I don't have their name in front of me right now, unfortunately, but I'll be writing something about that in the coming days in the Bonner County Daily Bee. Just haven't had time trying to chase down this government shutdown and council walkout story has consumed much of my time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess what's in the... It's the news this week is a bunch of things that aren't happening. For example, the Albany Falls had an open house scheduled that's been postponed. About the Albany Falls Dam had an open house scheduled that's been postponed. A few other things, I think. And then the Forest Service, the Sandpoint Ranger District is their ranger's office is shut down. The rangers are furloughed. I suppose. Anything further to say about kind of what's going on at the city? I'm a little surprised that council and the mayor found themselves in this position that they weren't able to kind of talk that they weren't able to talk this out before the meeting began, or agendize the approval of legal counsel first thing before, before proceeding. I don't know did you talk to any other counselors other than, Councilman Dick about this?
I talked to, Joel Spiro a little bit about it. It just seems like a little bit of a miscommunication kind of a thing, things that they're trying to work past. I haven't had the chance to dig too much into it, why the agenda was formatted the way it was. I'm still working through a lot of that right now, trying to talk to a lot of different people. Obviously, I think it's a pretty tense situation with everything. I mean, even just the reaction from people online has been more engagement in city issues than I've ever seen. and so I think, that both parties are taking steps to do it the right way and not have it kind of devolve into something that could be really harmful to the city and get caught up when there are a lot of bigger issues going on in the city.
Okay.
So what's your take on the online reaction? Are they pro council and walkout? Are they critical of the council for walking out? Are they critical of the mayor for not getting approval? Or is it all over the map?
I think, you're all over the map. I mean, you can't really take a ton from online reactions a lot of the time, but it can give you
It's often very ill-informed.
Yes, but it can often give you an idea of where people's biases lie. And I think on this issue, they were all over the place. Just looking at what people were saying in the Bonner County Daily Bee.
I have in front of me here the amended council special meeting agenda. It is to begin at 12:15 today, actually. And thanks to one of our roving reporters for sending this one in. The agenda includes now under new business, they have added discussion of legal services. That's the fifth item on the agenda. So it looks like they will be talking about this. for sure today at 12:15, assuming that they get a quorum, which I don't know how difficult that is on kind of on short notice to hold a midday meeting with not necessarily all six. They need four, right, to have a quorum.
Yeah.
To get four of the city councilors together in the middle of the day on a Friday. But if the meeting goes through, that will be the fifth item and the final item that is currently agendized. I guess we'll be paying attention to that. You going down to City Hall, or we'll be streaming that online, Jack?
No, I go in person every time, especially after the walkout. Yeah, yeah. You can't miss it.
You do collect information that you don't actually see on the video stream.
Exactly.
When you're in the room, yeah.
Yeah, and I get to talk to people and see how they react. It's never boring is what I say. Yeah, there's always something going on.
Yeah. Let's see here. We have, I don't think in related news, I guess, I don't think we made an official announcement last week on the air. We spoke about it a little bit after the show was over. Is it time now, Chris? Are we allowed to, is the embargo over? Are we allowed to say that we're going to host a forum?
It wasn't an embargo. We're just things lined up. Yeah, we are hosting a candidates forum on October 20th, Monday, October 20th, at the Sandpoint Center, which is the big brick bank building there on Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be talking with city council candidates, and also we've invited both Pondere to come and talk about the local option tax that's going to be on the ballot for Pondere residents, as well as the mayor to come and talk and take questions about the proposed wastewater plant bond. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I did get word that one of the council people they're going to be out of town on the 20th, but it's kind of tough to move things around at this point. So we're pushing ahead, and we're inviting him to, submit a written statement that can be read. But of course, the forum is a place where people can come hear what the candidates have to say, size them up, and ask their own questions. So hopefully people will come. That's October 20th. That's a Monday. And once again, working around schedules, we usually try to do this on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we are hoping folks will come out. We're going to start at 5:30 and aimed in by 7:30.
Okay. You can
listen. And we will be broadcasting.
There you go. Yeah, you can listen to that right here on 88.5 KRFY. I suspect Jack Freeman will be there, and you can read about it in the Daily Bee after the fact. But if you want to hear it live, you can hear it right here, or attend in person. Always nice to see people come out and see what questions get asked. You'll be moderating it, is that correct, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll try.
You'll try to moderate it, but people can submit questions, and you can.
They might walk out on me. We don't know.
Right. Okay. I guess in other city business, something we didn't talk about last week was the North Boyer is still closed, there was an update. Mayor Grimm did get through an update on this before losing his quorum. What's the latest? North Boyer Road still closed due to the culvert failure and in ongoing construction there to replace it, and people who live out that way, or people trying to get up to Schweitzer, have to drive all the way out to north of Pondere, the north end of Pondere, come over on Bronx Road and double back and come back down.
Yeah, they got to take Highway 95 north.
Yeah. What's the latest? What do we know about that? It was originally, I think they had hoped to have it done by like the end of summer, and then it was pushed back to November. Where are we at now? As far as
it looks to be done, they're aiming for a target of the first week of November.
Okay.
The issue really as of late has been waiting for their pipe to be delivered, the pipe of the culvert. They went to go get a custom one, and there's only two companies that the city is aware of that make this. And so you kind of go to them and say, when do you think we can get it? And they'll get it when they get it, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Mayor Grimm said that they're expecting a delivery here in the middle of October. And once that pipe gets here, They're expecting about a 2-week construction, and they'll get right to it. They've been preparing for this for a while. They've really just been waiting on this pipe to be delivered, and that's kind of at the mercy of their, you know, contracted company to make it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something we've talked about that much, just because, hey, road's closed. What else is there to say? But it is, I mean, it has a significant effect on those people who live out there. But come wintertime, if they don't actually have it in place by the time Schweitzer opens in the end of November, then it's going to be a real that'll be a real headache, I would think. I mean, that will have a major effect on more than just the people who live there. Okay, let's see where are we? We've got a few more minutes left.
Yeah. So you didn't mention, but a couple of things that came up in the news this week. One is that the Kinnickswu Land Trust is purchasing the Astor Garden Center. And you had a story on that. Mm-hmm. And the Bead, I don't know if you worked on that one.
I did not work on that. No, that's...
So that's was kind of a big thing for Kinnickswu Land Trust. And the Astor Garden Center is off on Superior. Mm-hmm. And it's been around for quite a number of years. But the Kinnickswu Land Trust intends to use it as both their offices. They're going to move their offices there, and they're going to operate it as a continuing nursery.
I listened to your fine program on Wednesday, where you actually talked to them at length about this this whole process, Chris. You can find that on our website, kfy.org, if you want to hear it right straight from the source. I was kind of surprised that they were. I thought they had just acquired the land and they were going to use it for their own purposes. I didn't know that they were going to continue running the nursery.
Yeah, they see it as part and parcel of their mission, and they're going to specialize in native plants and pollinating plants, pollinator plants. So they want to encourage people to start thinking about using those types of plants for landscaping. It's easier on our local environment. So that was kind of a big thing this week. It certainly was a big thing for Kinnickswu Land Trust. And then another thing that's been in the news is the restoration work on the north wall of the Panada Theater.
Mm-hmm.
As part of that work, the much beloved Sick Chicken panel that had a great story behind it, it was done sometime maybe after the 1960s, a repair had to be done to that wall. There was some water damage. The guy that came in and did the plaster restoration did the plaster repair. And then he, as part of the deal, he was apparently supposed to paint it. And he said, well, I'm not a painter. So they pressed him on it. So he painted it. And when he repainted it, instead of putting in the elegant peacocks that all the other panels have, he painted this. They call it a sick chicken. It looks like a vomiting bird in that part of the panel. Anyways, it's been part of the lore of the theater. Mm-hmm. Well, in the process of redoing the north wall there, it's a restoration project that's actually funded by a $100,000 grant from the Idaho Historic Trust. They couldn't remove the panel without it crumbling. The plaster needed to be replaced. It was a substandard repair job. So the question was, do we repaint it to the original 1927, or do we repaint it with a fake, you know, panel representing the sick chicken, but it wouldn't really be the sick chicken anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're restoring it to the original 1927. They did take a lot of imagery so that panel could be reproduced. And I think the intent is to do a reproduction of it that might not be on that wall, but displayed somewhere else in the theater.
Yeah, that would be cool to have at least a picture of it.
There's a lot of folks that were upset to hear that the sick chicken won't be there anymore. And it was a really neat feature of the theater. It raised an interesting question, like, in a historic restoration, do you go back to the original, or this came along long enough back that you can say, well, that's part of the history too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
And I mean, the folks from the Idaho Historic Trust were very you know, like, yeah, you definitely go back to the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. This shoddy repair that was done sometime later, it isn't what the project's about.
Yeah.
But that kind of ignores local sentiment. Mm-hmm. I think local sentiment had a lot of affection for the sick chicken.
Yeah, it was interesting, but the Panada's hands were, they had a grant from the Idaho
Heritage Trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And that tied their hands.
Yeah. But when you go into the Panada, I think the work is just now concluding, compare the two walls, the north wall and the south wall. And you'll see the north wall now has, the vibrancy it might've had, back in 1927 when it was first built.
Very cool. Let's see. Well, Mr. Freeman, what else are you in our last couple minutes here? What are you working on right now? Anything coming up in next week's paper that you want to tease us about or anything?
Yeah, sure. Well, obviously, I'll be covering today's city council meeting. I'm sure everyone will be interested in seeing how that plays out, as will I. Traverse Park is having a grand opening of sorts with a couple of their new attractions and events. That's happening tomorrow at 10 a.m. I live right by there, so I figured I might as well stop by, get some pictures. That is pretty much finishing up all the work over there, so excited to see that. And then hopefully next week I can get back to writing some more fun features, because I've wrote about the economy and a government shutdown and a city council meeting on a dispute that is ongoing. And so not always the most fun things to write about for me. So
hard news comes first, man.
Yeah, oh, it does. Yeah, it does. That's why I'm doing it. But any new businesses out there who want to reach out, you know, love to do, get back to doing a little bit more fun stuff as well for the community. I don't want to be too negative all the time.
Tell the story of the community.
That's right. Yeah. Go to a few more ribbon cuttings. That's the kind of thing you want to be
going exactly. Yes, right. Week of hard news, but think it was good for all.
I guess we really don't have that much time. But you guys both attended that the Economic Forum last week. Both Chris and Jack, you were both there, and we talked about that a little bit. I don't know.
Jack wrote about this week. Actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there? I guess how? What is the? What's the economic forecast, Jack? How's it looking for North Idaho?
If you would want to take the Avista's chief financial officer's word for it, and I would, not fantastic. Mm-hmm. He said about a 50% chance of a recession, 50-50 there, and he said that North Idaho is very tied to the national part of that. Mm-hmm. There was a nice question and answer where he told me very politely that I would never be able to own a home, which I was very excited about. Mm-hmm. They kind of at the end, they talked about local North Idaho organizations who are helping to promote economics in the area and economic development. They're really focusing on startup businesses and food in the local area. I know that the Pondere Economic Partnership, that's something that they're really focusing on and just trying to kind of drive that growth from within instead of trying to bring new people in. Mm-hmm. Because when they bring new people in, they just steal workers who are already here from local businesses, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot of people doing great work, but the national outlook on the economy was not fantastic. Unfortunately, which is why I said that I'd like to get back to writing more fun stuff, because that was a tough one to write.
Yeah.
Going back and listening to.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's 8:30. We'll talk more. I imagine we'll be talking quite a bit more about what's going on in the city in the coming, just about a month and a day until election day.
And we'll throw another plug. We do have the candidates forum coming up on October 20th in the Sandpoint Center, starting 5:30 to 7:30 or so. Everybody's invited to that. Of course, we also will have interviews with the city council candidates that will be airing on Wednesday, October 15th and Wednesday, October 22nd. Wednesday, October 29th, that'll be the last Wednesday before the November 4th election. We're going to be talking with the mayors of both Pondere and Sandpoint about their ballot measures.
And one final note on the topic of this radio station. We're currently in the middle of our, actually past the middle, we're getting closer to the end of our annual online auction, which is our largest fundraising event of the year. And I'll encourage anyone who hasn't yet gone to biddingforgood.com/KRFY to please go there and check things out.
Yes, go to KRFY.org. You'll see a link to it right there on our homepage on the right side. Mm-hmm. And do go and bid. There's some deals to be had, for one thing. I tell you right now, the deal I'm looking at is there's a fat tire bike that Swingo Cyclery has donated, and it's going for well below.
It's a steal right now.
It's a super steal. So, and Swingo Cyclery only sells good quality stuff. So, it's going to be a high quality bike.
Yeah. I was hoping nobody was actually going to notice that, and I could get that one.
Well,
myself.
Well, I got to throw it out there because it's a fundraiser for us, but you might still get it. I don't think there's a bid on it yet.
So. No, I know. Look, many of the auction items have bids, but there's a few that actually, don't have bids. Several of them are still going at, I would say, well below market value. So check it out if you're in the mood for a deal, but whether or not you are, you should go because proceeds from this auction benefit this nonprofit, non-commercial, independent radio station that brings you things like North Idaho News of the Week. Jack Freeman, staff writer for the Bonner County Daily Bee, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Of course. Thank you so much.
On the goings-on down at City Hall and elsewhere. And now it's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY.